creating and rekindling memories. NHR.
So I'd like to introduce you to my guest who's in the studio with me today, and he is Richard Daniels, who has co-founded a charity called Forever Stars. So welcome, Richard, and tell us all about your story.
Good morning, Mary. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you. Well, we started Forever Stars following the stillbirth of our daughter, Emily, in December 2013, on the 19th of December. And the care we had was superb. We were really well looked after. But we felt that the surroundings weren't totally appropriate for when you've had when you've lost a baby. You could hear babies crying, you could hear people celebrating, and all those different things, all the things that we've just lost. And I think the telling moment was I went home to see my son and to tell him about what had happened. And when I came back, Michelle was really struggling. And we had to say a very quick goodbye to Emily, the hardest goodbye we'll ever say. And when we got home, we talked about that moment and felt that there must be something we can do so that other families don't have to go through that, because it's a very, and back then it was hardly ever spoken about, but it was a very isolating feeling. So we thought we need people to feel like they're being thought about during this process.
Yes, and in a sense, although it's the end, you don't want the end to be so abrupt, do you? You want to, you know, think about it.
That's absolutely right. You don't want to feel that that's it.
Yes.
And actually, as time goes by, you realise that isn't it. And it's actually, you can see it as an opportunity to make a lot of memories. But if there's not the space or the right setting for you, then you're going to miss out on those moments.
Yes, exactly. So there was no special room or anything. You were just still, Michelle was still on the ward, I guess.
That's right. So Michelle was on the ward, and the midwives that looked after us were brilliant. You know, I still maintain they do the best toast, but they looked after us. They looked after Emily, and they did everything they could to give us that moment with her. But inevitably, if there's not the right environment, you're never going to have the moments that you should have with your baby.
Exactly right. So what happened next?
That's a great question. So we got home and we thought, right, we'll see what's available for baby loss families out there.
Yes.
And at the time, there was only a third of hospitals that had bereavement suites for baby loss. And as we all know, financial pressures are there. So it's really difficult to actually look at a budget and see how they can fund that. And we felt, well, actually, we probably have got an opportunity here to do a bit of fundraising and to get a room that's dedicated to families who lost a baby. So we spoke to the hospital, and there was our bereavement midnight wife at the time was Mandy Dan, and was a great support to us. And we found a space, and we thought, right, well, we'll have a go. And we thought initially the budget was going to be about £25,000. It actually ended up being about £180,000.
So where was that initial budget coming from?
Backpacking, tombolas.
Oh. So let me go back to the beginning. Did you say, right, we have to form a charity, or did the formation of the charity come after you investigated?
We hadn't planned on starting a charity. The idea was that we'd do a one-off fundraising project.
I see.
And get this going. And then it was actually during a radio interview that somebody said, well, once you've got £5,000 raised, then you need to start looking at having charitable status or however else you can manage that project. So it felt like we pricked a bubble. So we just initially put a notice out on social media saying, could anybody support us? We want to raise £25,000. And within about 24 hours, there were 1,000 people on this page.
Really?
All people many people who'd experienced baby loss and were saying, this is something we'd love to be part of, and we'll help and support you. And it was quite overwhelming. I have to say, actually, it was very supportive for Michelle and I at the time as well. We were talking to lots and lots of families who'd been through it, whether they'd been through it 6 months ago or 6 years ago. So you suddenly realise that actually you are able to talk about it if the channels are open for you. And so we did our first fundraiser with Nottingham Forest legend John McGovern, and he did an evening with. And then we did all the usual things. We went and did, as I say, tombolas, backpacking, had people doing sponsored walks. Michelle did the Three Peaks. For those of you that can't see me, I'm not built for Three Peaks, but I can certainly drive the car. So we did all those sorts of all the usual traditional things for charity to fundraise, and it went fantastically. But then we realised £25,000 actually wasn't even going to skim the surface when you start talking about having somewhere where people can cater and having a nursery for the baby and somewhere where you can have time with your extended family. And even as we've got here at the QMC, we've got a rooftop garden that goes with the suite. So when, because your ideas just grow, don't they? And every family you speak to, they give you another nugget of, I wish there was. So you think, right, well, let's do it. Let's put this in. So yeah, £180,000 later, the Serenity Suite was developed.
Good heavens. So, I mean, that's a lovely name for it. Tell me all about it.
Well, the name Serenity Suite actually comes from my mum. We were talking, the whole charity, I have to say, is although it was Michelle and I doing a legacy for Emily, the whole charity is actually a legacy for hundreds of babies. We have some incredible families that have got involved from the very start, right the way through to even last week. We've got new families joining us and doing things in the name of their babies. And so we never wanted it to become Emily's charity. We wanted everybody to have ownership on this for their own personal reasons. And so when it came to naming the room, which is a really big deal to try and think of the most appropriate name, my mum actually said, what about Serenity? It needs to be a serene area. It needs to be something like that.
Perfect.
And it just fitted perfectly. So everything we do, so we have a Serenity Suite, we have a Serenity Centre, we have a Serenity Garden. So Serenity is our theme. And even our mascot bear is called Seren.
Yes. So how did you find the room?
That was very much down to Mandy Dan. She knew there was a space that was available and was currently, or at the time, was being used as a very, very big storeroom. And she felt that those items could be stored elsewhere.
Yes.
And so we met with the then chief executive, Peter Homer, and sort of said, is this a possibility? And he was really supportive of us doing it. And the rest is history, really. They got all the things out there. And actually, when we went in the room, we thought, can we do this? Can we actually make this what we want it to be? But it really is. It's a lovely facility. And
yes.
It took about 6 months to actually do the work. And I can only describe it really as a really nice Premier Inn room. It doesn't feel like you're in a hospital at all. It feels completely different to that. And families that I've spoken to since have said that they felt so far removed from that medical scenario and able just to take time out there, whether it's with their partner or with the baby or whoever. And that's exactly what we wanted to achieve. So it was nice to hear that. It's soundproofed as well.
Right, I see. And what's exactly in, I mean, can people sleep there? Do people sleep there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the wonderful thing is, because it's not a medical room, there's no time frame. So you can spend as long as you need to. And that was really important to Michelle and I, that people can spend as long as they need to with their babies.
Yes, yeah.
So I know that the sort of average is about 3 days. But there have been families that have spent 2 weeks in the room. And there's a double bed. So you can sleep with your partner in the room. There's also a recliner chair, a small sofa, a kitchenette. It's en suite, and it has a small nursery area. And the nursery is really important because baby loss is a really difficult subject for people to get their heads around. So if you want your parents or the baby's grandparents to come, but they're not sure if they can actually emotionally cope with seeing baby, or you can't emotionally cope with them seeing your baby, then the nursery's there. It's a beautiful little space. Baby's perfectly well looked after, and it's made for them. And then you can still have your family there. And then at the time which is right for you, you can then share your baby with them if you want to. It's a really important part of the Serenity Suite, and it's the same in both the city and the QMC one. And the outdoor space is literally a little rooftop garden with a patio set. And it's nice to be able to take your baby outside. A lot of people want to have that experience.
Yes.
And I completely get it. Again, it was something that Michelle and I couldn't do. So while you're having these conversations, it's great to be able to deliver that for people so they can do it.
So is there probably only one family there at a time?
There's only one family in the Serenity Suite at one time, but we do have two rooms here at the QMC.
Right.
So unfortunately, there are occasions when there are more than one family that's lost a baby here.
Yes.
And so we do have two soundproof rooms. One is on the maternity area, but it is decorator sympathetically and can have literally a quick turnaround, so all the information is appropriate to baby loss as opposed to a newborn baby.
Yes.
But we have that room, we have the serenity suite at the QMC, and also the one at the city. So if somebody's here at the QMC, they can be transferred over to the city if we need to as well.
Yes, well, that sounds absolutely brilliant. So what do you think of that, Steve?
I think it sounds absolutely amazing, and I think it's wonderful the fact that you've not only achieved rooms to help people in the hospital going through it right at the time, but you've also seemed to have achieved the creation of a community.
Yeah.
Which, as people leave the hospital, they still want that community of people who have gone through the same things. Yeah, and that's absolutely wonderful. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's become a community, that, you know, and it's so nice, because when you've lost your baby, you really don't know what life's going to be like next. So to have people who've been through it, whether they, you know, and we've got families who've had, it's 22, 23 years ago since they lost their baby, who are part of the Forever Stars of the baby loss community, as well as people who literally lost 2 weeks ago. And so you do really get some inspiration from these families, you know, and you have a really strange emotions following baby loss. I talk a lot about the fact that jealousy is quite a big thing, and yet I've never been a jealous person. I've never felt jealous about anything. But to see
jealousy in what way?
Jealousy in the fact that I've not got my baby and other people have.
Oh, other people, yes.
And it's such a strange, yes, and it's a horrible feeling to have as well.
Yes, yes.
But it's quite a common feeling. And if you don't feel comfortable with that feeling, to know that other people have felt it and have moved forward from that feeling is real comfort and really helpful. So just in that instance, the community is important.
So as part of that community, do you have get-togethers, or is it just online, or is it
always? Always. We try and do as much face-to-face as we can.
Wonderful.
So we have a centre in Beeston, and it's open to families, whether it's an early miscarriage, stillbirth, or neonatal loss. And we've got like a little cafe area in there, and we do sort of creative cafes and things, but people can just drop in. Mm. It's important that they've got a safe space where they've got people who know exactly what they've been through, where they don't even have to talk about it. Just knowing is a really important part of it.
Exactly.
So we do a lot to try and get together.
That's wonderful.
So how many people do you think are involved at the moment?
Volunteers-wise, mm-hmm. We've got around 100 volunteers.
Good heavens.
And it's and they're all amazing. We have a real hardcore who we call our operations committee, and they literally give their lives day to day to the charity. Everybody's a volunteer. We've got no staff at the charity, and so everybody has an allocated role. I don't know what mine is, but everybody else has got one. So we've got Dan and Martin, who look after the Serenity Garden. We've got Leanne, who looks after our Embrace family. So they're families who've lost a baby and haven't yet gone on to have another baby, or won't want to have another baby. We've got Michelle and Laura, who look after the NUH relationship. We've got Emma and Andy, who very importantly look after fundraising. You know, they've always got a raffle on the go somewhere. We've got Beck, Rebecca Sandy. She manages our volunteer database, which with 100, you can imagine it's quite a busy task. We've got Michelle Hemsley, who does a lot of our administration and support for the events, and Carly, who helps with the Serenity Centre as well. So we've got a really, and we meet regularly, and we try and, you know, like a business, we'll try and strategically plan where we're going with the charity. But then we have a whole army of people who will either pop into the centre and help with our vintage store, or clean the cupboards, or do a tombola, or help at an event. So yeah, and they've all got their own different reasons. The vast majority are baby loss families, but other people just want to help the baby loss community and do something positive in their community, which is just beautiful. It's lovely.
Well, Richard, what a massive thing that you've started. I mean, thing's not the right word. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing what you did, just from going home and sitting chatting and thinking, what can we do? And look where we are now. Right, well, let's have a piece of music. So Richard is going to introduce a piece of music which he will represent the charity.
I think this piece of music really does represent Forever Stars well. It's actually a choice from of Daniel Barnett's for the charity, and it's A Sky Full of Stars by Coldplay.
start. I'm gonna give you my heart, 'cause you're a sky, 'cause you're a sky full of stars, 'cause you light up the path.
The name of that track was A Sky Full of Stars by Coldplay, and the name of the charity is Forever Stars. So now let's go back to Richard, and he's going to tell us a little bit more, including something very exciting. But first of all, Richard, I've got on my notes that you have a garden at Highfields.
We do. We have the Serenity Garden at Highfields, and it's it was a bit of a lucky story, really. We'd had a chat amongst ourselves, and we felt that this will be a nice addition to offer somewhere where people can go and reflect and relax and remember their babies.
Yes.
And but as you know, land's very expensive. We didn't really know what we were going to do and how we were going to do it. And I contacted the City Council, and so fortuitously, on the day that I contacted them, they'd lost out on a bid for lottery funding for this particular piece of land, and they didn't know what to do with it. So we gave them a really easy answer straight away. And yes. So if you go to Highfields, or if you're familiar with Highfields Park, there's an area which has got an old paddling pool in it, and which I've paddled in myself when I was a child. And it's a beautiful spot, and it had been left and neglected for quite a while. So we got this plot of land, and again, raised about 100,000 or so to start it. And the council worked brilliantly with us as well, actually, to get some community funding. And we've put two sculptures in there. One is a star, as you would imagine, and the other is an acorn, which has obviously the representation with Nottingham, but also major oaks that never grew. And so on those two sculptures, families can have a petal, which we provide free of charge for families, where they have their baby's name and their date of birth and date of loss or whatever they want to put on there, really. And that gets popped. They choose where to put that petal on those sculptures, and then the artist will follow them and permanently weave it in with a steel wire to make sure that it's kept there as a place where they can go and remember their baby. There's lovely seating. There's two big pagodas. One's in the shape of a star. There's a theme in most of the things we're doing here. At the moment, we're just working with a company to have a water feature put in there as well, because it's 5 years old this year. We've got about 1,000 babies remembered, or just over 1,000 babies remembered on the garden. And Martin and Dan, who I mentioned earlier on the Arts Committee, they are so dedicated to this space. It's a beautiful space.
Is it that bit just at the end down University Boulevard? It's just on the right hand side near the island, yeah.
You've got it, that's exactly where it is.
Yeah.
And they've now got a real hardcore of volunteers. You know, there's Rob and Tracy and the Aldershaws, and there's quite a few people that go down there and do their bit. And we have corporate days, so companies who want to do a bit of corporate social responsibility, they come and give us a day and do things. We even had a wonderful thing called Rock Corps a couple of weeks ago. It was an initiative from the High Sheriff at Attenborough, and they get kids, so 16 to 25 year olds, to come along, volunteer 4 hours of their time, and in return for that 4 hours, they get a concert ticket, which they went to, which was Tiny Temper at Rock City a few days later. So, and we had 47 young adults come along, and they worked hard. They worked really hard.
That's really good to hear. I mean, I don't want to stereotype, but a lot of youngsters get a reputation for not wanting to do that sort of thing. So it's actually fantastic to hear that there are... Why aren't there that they will help?
I think they've got about 2,000 volunteers for the entire initiative across Nottingham. And they're doing it again next year, and they're hoping to get 10,000 involved next year. I think it's brilliant. You're absolutely right. There's so often the coverage of the bad stories about the youth community, but actually this was a really good one. And I was there, and I personally saw just how committed they were. It was amazing. It was really good.
That is amazing, yeah.
So the garden we use as a bit of a hub for the baby loss community. So Baby Loss Awareness Week is October the 9th to the 15th. Maybe I can come back and talk about that some other
time.
Yes,
please do.
And we do a pink and blue walk. And it starts at one end of Highfields and comes down. And everybody gets like a battery-powered candle. And we pop it down there. And we had about 300 families last year come along. It's a really emotional event, but it's a real coming together of people as well. And it's part of what they call the International Wave of Light. So at 7 p.m, all around the world at 7 p.m, they all light a candle or something to remember their babies, and that's where we do our bit. So it's a really lovely part.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, in my mind, what I'm getting from it is the fact that it's baby loss is terrible, but it doesn't have, the memories don't have to end. You can make more memories, and you can keep, you know, sort of reliving, and you're meeting people. I mean, it's absolutely amazing.
I think you're right. I mean, Emily is as much real time in my family,
yes,
as Finley and Alfie and Monty are. You know, that we talk about her, we remember her, we do things that are because of her, and we're not alone in that. Lots of families are doing that all the time. And,
yes.
You know, hopefully that makes people feel more comfortable to talk about baby loss as well,
yes,
because we're doing,
yes,
these things.
Yeah. And a baby's a real person. It's not just never happened.
No.
It has happened.
You know, when you start from early miscarriage, the moment your family knows you're expecting a baby, when you are expecting a baby...
It's real.
It's real. Your mind goes into, what are we going to do? How are we going to plan?
Yes,
how do we,
yes,
go forward? And actually, when you lose your baby, you actually have a bit of a rolling grief. Because there's all the events that come up that you wish,
yes,
your baby had been
of
there.
Of course.
You know, for me, I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to have I've got a lad and I've got a Disney princess who I'm going to have to sort of see all these things, and I'm going to walk her down the aisle one day and all those things. And those are memories that have been taken away from me.
Yes, of course.
And so you have to manage that.
You have to manage
Not just at the point of loss, but your whole life. So if you can manage those things with your friends around you,
yes,
who understand that they've got, you know, got an appreciation of that loss, how much easier is my life going to be, and how much easier is their life going to be because of that?
That's such a good word, Richard, managing it. I think in any kind of life event, you have to manage it in the end, don't you?
You do, you do. You don't move on, you move forward.
Yes,
you know,
and you take it with you.
Absolutely, you do, you do. One of the main drivers for Forever Stars, really, at the very beginning, was we wanted Finlay to see that even in the darkest of times, you can do something positive.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, it was an important message for him as a five-year-old. And I hope that that's been the case for lots of families now, that they've felt that they've got a really positive connection with their baby, you know, even if they've just held him in their hearts as opposed to their arms.
Exactly. So, of course, it's a Nottingham-based charity. Do you think that it might go anywhere else in the country?
Well, we're quite busy in Nottingham, to be fair. I think we have ambitions to do East Midlands.
Yes.
Because we have a lot of families from around the East Midlands that come and use us anyway. We've had families from Newcastle, Belfast come and use us as well. I think we're quite unique in what we offer because we do offer the support immediate, and the fact that it's the whole, whether it's your sibling, the grandparents, even a best friend, we offer support for all of those people. We've got the Remembrance Garden, and we do an awful lot of events to celebrate and to highlight baby loss awareness. So we'd like to sort of officially be East Midlands as opposed to just Nottingham.
Yes,
but
course.
Nottingham is, I am a Nottingham boy, and that's always going to be my priority, I think.
Good. Yes. So finally, Richard, tell me what happened last Friday.
Last Friday was an incredible day for the charity, and I've got to say it was an emotional one for me. On November the 14th, 2025, we were honoured to receive the King's Award for Voluntary Service. This is effectively an MBE for the charity, and it recognises everybody's role in the charity. It's, you know, and it's so appropriate for us because we're a team. There's such a big team of us, and we all do our own little bit to make this work.
Everybody's important.
Yeah, they are, absolutely they are. And so it was just lovely to receive this. And so on Friday last week, the Lord Lieutenant Veronica Pickering presented the charity with the King's Award, which was a beautiful certificate and a sort of a crystal award as well. But we also tried to, again, make the most of that opportunity. So we had 18 young ambassadors, and we celebrated them and the work that they've done for the charity. We had 70 of our volunteers. They all received a King's Award badge, which you can only get if you are volunteering for a King's Award organisation. And we had some of our corporate supporters there as well. And it was just, for me, I was stood at the front of the room, and to look and think, over the last 12 years, we've gone from being on our kitchen table to seeing this happen at the Jubilee campus in Nottingham. It was just, it was overwhelming. But it was a really, and again, a lovely community feel a night that I will remember for a long time.
Yes, yeah. It's just blown me away, Richard. I'm, in awe of everything you've done. And I think it's just been amazing for everybody. And what I love about it is the fact that, yes, you and Michelle started it, but you're not like saying, it's mine, it's everybody's, isn't it?
Absolutely it is. That is 100%. If nobody takes any other message from this interview than that, then I'll be happy, because it's a brilliant team of people and a dedicated bunch of volunteers that do this.
Yes, right. Well, thank you very much for that, Richard. I'm sure everybody has enjoyed listening to all that information. And if you know of anybody, or you can think of anybody, then please get in touch with the
So you can get in touch by our website, which is www.foreverstars.org. We are on social media, so we're on Facebook and Instagram, or you can email us at enquiries@foreverstars.org.
Right, so there you are, folks. Forever Stars is all you need to remember. Just Google it, you'll find it.
Creating and rekindling memories. NHR.